Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
I just got some water because I peed and it was sun yellow and I thought I needed some more water.
Yeah. Yes. And so you got to be part of the clear pee club. It's important.
Clear pee club. How long have you been a member of this club, Danny?
I'm a card carrying member.
About 30 minutes ago.
You're a CCCPC.
Excuse me. I don't pee home without it.
All right. I think on that note, let's start the show.
If you pee at home, it's a problem.
So pee is good. If we're going to go there, we should talk about the Bristol app for your phone. Bristoler?
No,
we've talked about it.
You know what the Bristol app is, Phil?
No.
Nope.
It's a barometer of your poop. I don't know why we went from pee to poop. So we milk, lemonade around the corner, fudges made. Did we hit the trifecta now?
How about we start
a third waste? There's a third form of waste, which is plasma.
Okay.
True. I've seen Star Trek.
Hey, Jeremy, help us out, man.
Welcome to the Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my left, Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Hello.
And sort of below me to the left there, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
Just reorient your view and turn on the tape deck there, Junior.
I wish I could. And our guest for the entire hour.
Just snap it on.
He's a producer and host of Nick Arcade. He's a Nick alum. He's going to fit right in. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Phil Moore's here. Hello, Phil. Hello, hello.
Love child of Tito Jackson. Hello, everybody.
the teal and turquoise tribe.
Oh, my God.
Well, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm glad we got the pee and the poop out of the way right from the get-go.
In the top. We just lost 2,000 listeners immediately.
That's right. That's right. In most states. What's happening? Phil, welcome to the podcast. How you guys have met, I'm presuming, on all that. You did shows together. You did tons of stuff, right? No?
The most time I would see Danny, especially, was on Figure It Out.
Figure It Out.
The original Figure It Out. So he was on that a lot. And my son, David, who's now a grown up and a filmmaker, he was one of the Charade Brigade on the show.
Gosh, yeah.
Dude, he was on the Charade Brigade. And I used to come on there, the thing is we see each other a lot because you're in the studio. Danny was the interesting one. Mike, not so much because they shot Pete and Pete on location, mm-hmm. but Danny, when he was on all that and came in to figure it out. So I'd see him like all the time,
It's true. So we were forced by law to do these, charitable events together as well.
Forced by law?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that's at least what my mom said. I had to do it.
Well,
Danny, your mom lied.
Son of a bitch. You didn't have to, but you did it anyway because it felt good. I think I met Phil on at least two occasions, if not three.
Nick takes over your school or something like that.
I think we did something with Lori Beth Denberg. It could have been a big help. And then I saw Phil more recently.
Phil more butts. Hey,
a few years back at the. At the launch for this Nickelodeon book called Slimes, Phil was
Yeah, that was very cool. Got to come back to New York.
Hardy was there, I think, too. It was very. Yeah, and you saw some very happy people there that night. You know what I mean?
It was like a high school reunion. Look, I had no idea the thing was going to be that big. big. I was expecting to just jump in there. It was going to be a handful of people. When I arrived, they had a car come pick me up, and the line was around the block. And on the marquee, it had Weird Al Yankovic. I'm like, well, I guess they're there for him. But his show was like coming up. It was standing room only for us. And
that was a good feeling.
It was a show before the show because we were all, you know, reuniting with each other, people we hadn't seen in, you know, 15, 20 years, you know? And so, you know, everybody was like, okay, it's time for you to go on stage. Like, no, but I'm still
that was a good feeling. And I thought it even better for those people who got to, you know, who came to the event, who got to see us sort of re-encounter each other again after a long time.
And we were talking candid. The best part about it was we were talking candid.
Very candidly. Everybody was like, oh, you know, I'm going to this, that. I didn't have a kid at that point, but I do now. I wasn't wearing as much turquoise then. But as like I'm matching Phil, that day I wore like the same boring blue dress shirt as Hardy. So I was dressed the exact same as my as my TV dad randomly, completely unintentionally, but randomly.
And today, you did it again.
Look, I purposely wore a boring blue shirt because I knew that somebody was going to ask about those god-awful sweaters they used to make me wear on Nick Arcade. So I literally had a standard blue shirt on. Hey, look, I bought standard. You know,
I got over it.
Thank you.
I put the sweaters in storage, and I moved.
People ask me, why did you wear the sweaters? I'm like, hey, because the check cleared. What a dumb question. Exactly. The check cleared.
That's right.
Same reason Dana got slimed over and over again because...
My mom said I was contractually obligated to do those things.
Yeah, you've got a conversation coming with
that. That's really funny. I went back. I was thinking about that day that we hung out there, and I watched this other kid's video about what had happened that day. He played a character called Ross on Are You Afraid of the Dark? And or maybe the actor's name was Ross. I'm terrible. I'm a bad person. And it was really, it was striking how people wanted to see his prop as well, his glasses. And Danny, your hat is like so intrinsic to your character. Your buffalo plaid hunters.
It only dons the top of my Christmas tree every year. That's it.
Oh, you put it on your that's great.
I do.
That's really nice.
I do.
We should do like a streaming from the Dederelli Tamberweiler households sometime.
I like how you combine our names. It's beautiful.
That would be sweet. That's a nice, but yeah, Phil, like how important that was to kids, like to see that and, you know, something a little bit nerdier out of the ordinary.
Well, the thing I thought was really cool was, again, watching them enjoy us reunite while we're on stage. But then when I talked about being candid, like we were telling some behind the scenes things that there was no other vehicle or no other platform to do because we were on Nickelodeon. It was
the platform was the drink tickets that night. We got about two drink tickets, I think, each. And then after that, you know, you kind of were on your own. But I don't think because the amount of time we were there, we didn't kind of stop it.
Well, there had to be. No. Can you give us some dish? There had to be someone that got probably a little too saucy.
I don't know. I think I couldn't tell.
It was Phil.
I'm about to say, yeah, maybe I don't remember because maybe I was the guy.
I know it was my birthday, so I was trying to stay out of trouble. I don't think I was the one who got in too much trouble. I'm not sure who it was.
Well, I know that when we got done, we hung out a little bit again, and then I went out with some folks, and we did some more eating and some more drinking.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
This is a common, you know, good humans is what happens.
Yeah.
Good humans.
Yeah. So what's up with you guys? I mean, of course, I know about the band. Every time I come to New York, I try to come and see you, but it's either something that happens or that particular weekend, you guys are booked in Alaska or something. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Man, but, those last-minute Alaska gigs are something.
They're really, we'll give you 50,000 miles. We'll give you 50,000 miles.
We'll fly you out for free, and we'll give you a tent and watch for the bears.
That's
Sounds good, man. We'll do whatever, man. Yeah. It's all about the rock and roll.
Thawed meat and boiling water.
And so, Danny, you and I know you probably talked about this on this podcast already, but I'm, you know, late to the party and all. But you were like a little bit last year out with Lori Beth doing some stuff. You did a thing.
So Mike and Jeremy and I started this thing called Nostalgia Personified that we did.
In a number of locations.
Yeah. So we did a Pete and Pete version, and then we did an all that version with Lori Beth. And
Nickelodeon version.
We can do a Nick Arcade version like that. Absolutely. You know,
I was about to say, hey Jeremy, can we do Phil and his sweater and Mikey version? That's what
yes,
I
mean. All sweater. Yeah, version.
I know Cal has done a '90s nights in Florida as well, right, Dan?
Oh yeah, he does like bar hopping '90s nights.
Where
everybody drinks orange soda.
We have never done a foam party in our Nostalgia Personified shows.
No, not now, because everybody
a foam party, and we have not done like foam. Let me ruin another one for you, Jeremy. We've never done glow sticks. Sorry, buddy.
Because it was Nickelodeon, we should have done a floam party. See if any of that stuff
floam.
Oh, that stuff dried out, man.
Have a gack attack. Phone was like those little beasts.
Yeah, the little beasts. Like yeah, that's really that stuff wasn't good. It didn't taste very good either.
How much memorabilia do you guys have left? Because everybody keeps asking me.
Mom just put a jean jacket on me that has a couple of Nick embroideries on it, and I didn't try it on, and I just kept it on the hanger. And I know it's a little too big for my son, who is not yet 4 years old, so. We're gonna have to meet in the middle somewhere.
Well, we did a thing, you know, we've done the like various things like cons and getting together, but we did something during this COVID time that it dawned on me, this had never been done before, where we had the original five 90s Nick game show hosts all on a Zoom at one time. It was Summer Sanders, Michael Malley, Mark Summers, Kurt Fogg, and myself. And it's just, and in the midst of doing this, I was like, head exploded. This had never happened before. Even when we were, you know, going around, it would either be two of us, three of us, but never all five of us together. It was really cool.
So necessity was a mother of invention.
And all of us were trying to ask together. And being game show people, we're all trying to ask
each other the question.
So,
how was your Saturday? How was your weekend?
When we formed Captain Planet, who gets to be the...
And all of the answers were in forms of questions, like on Jeopardy, and
we all walked around with little buzzers. We had little bells that ding before we could answer.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer any more questions from Mark. I'd rather just take the physical challenge and say...
So that was crazy. That was fun.
So I love that.
I think I was a little old for the Nick Arcade. Was that after Pete and Pete or in that same era?
I'm not even talking to you. You suck. No.
Jeremy
is old.
I didn't like Pete and Pete either.
Jeremy's definitely old enough.
Jeremy's as old as you.
He's 45. He's older than
you. I'm messing with you, Jeremy. Jeremy. Okay. No. Yeah. If you're at a certain age bracket, then you didn't get it. Nick Arcade came after. Show premiered. We started shooting it in 1990. It premiered in 1991. But I remember Pete and Pete was already on. Like, I knew...
For a year, though. We started in 89.
Yeah. So I knew. Well, no, 2 years because we didn't. You started 89, but we didn't premiere until 91. So
had a head start.
Yeah. So I knew who these guys were, and you know, especially when I found that I got the job to host Nick Arcade, then it was like, well, let me start watching the network more, because my son at the time was only like a year and a half, so he wasn't really watching Nickelodeon yet. So,
and they expanded into that Nick Jr. sort of like preschool.
We were still in PBS, you know.
I'm happy with the. I got a Richard Scarry book for my son right now that he's really into, that my mom gave to me when I was little. So it's nice to see those sort of hand-me-downs. But our show is not to toot our own horn, which is what we do on here. our show is Phil. Yours and ours were both way ahead of their time for Nickelodeon. It, like, I think now the technology has caught up to make both of them fully realized.
Realized, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing, yeah. Yeah, the show, Nick Arcade, won major technical awards. And it's interesting now, the only thing that sort of dates the show, seriously, I mean, forget music, forget, you know, sweaters. So, but the only thing that really dates the show is the games, because now this virtual thing is so common that if mm-hmm. if we had Apex Legends up in there, it would look just as relevant as anything happening today.
Well, that sort of leads to my other question, is do you still game on the new consoles, or are you an old?
I am knee deep in it, man. Not just deep, I'm totally knee deep.
I'm actually producing. I'm trying to get through that. I'm still about 2/3 of the way through. So if you haven't,
I've been kind of knee deep, because when COVID started, I just signed on right before we went on lockdown. I'm producing a new show on Twitch called Chasing the Crown. Awesome. And it's a game
about
show.
About some gaming, I'm guessing.
Yeah, about some gaming. And then it's also physical challenges. So we have gamers who are streamers on there competing against each other. And then after they play these video games, then we do an IRL challenge, in which we come up with a game they have to do live in their house that's sort of based off of a video game or video game thing.
Oh, sure. So, do a Metroid Screw Attack.
I've got a great one for Pitfall, okay? Back in the day,
Thinking of the same thing, leaping over lava. We're both thinking of the same thing. You wanted to step on three crocodiles.
You had to take all the cushions off the couch and they go on the floor. I have to try to crawl up the top of the couch without slipping and falling. If you hit the couch with no cushions, you're done.
Which is an actual game show.
Alfie doing some couch crawling, because Gerard is just up and down the couch too much.
Yeah, he goes crazy.
But there's a Netflix show now called The Floor Is Lava.
Floor Is Lava, right?
Where they took that whole concept. Check it. No, it's a whole game show.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It is one of the simplest concepts, but no lie. I started watching it at like 10:30 one night when I discovered it. And the next, 3 a.m., I'm like, where are you?
We got 2 or 3 a.m. Yeah. It's better than you would think. It has one sort of angle, but it.
It's really good. It's the funny thing is that prior to working on this show for producing the show for Twitch that I'm doing now. Prior to that, I was producing another show for Nickelodeon in which The Floor Is Lava was a small segment of it. And somebody just cracked it out and made it a whole thing. Yeah. And it got me up at night. Watch it.
Yep.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
There's so many of these like shows like that where it's people running up these giant platforms and, you know, getting hit in the face with giant balls, or, you know, very Nickelodeon-esque
a couple of the people that worked on Floor Is Lava came from Wipeout.
I was about to say Wipeout, because that sounds like people getting whammed into water hazards and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like somebody said, what if you took Wipeout, Nickelodeon, and put it together? So you get wiped out, but then you fall in some liquidy crap.
But Wipeout wouldn't have existed without Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Oh! Or
American Ninja Warrior.
Here we go! Yeah. Most Extreme Elimination Challenge! Here we go!
Yeah,
Guy LaDouche!
Or Funhouse, I'd say back to that, like reaching all the way back, sort of like.
No, really, this. MXC. If you watch MXC with Guy LaDouche and the two guys, man.
Geniuses, the people who made that.
Genius.
Yeah.
Except like on the American version on Wipeout, it's like bounce, bounce, splash. This would be smash your face, crack your arm, hit you into a boulder, and then splash.
Yeah. Yep.
the Pistons would be more sadistic in the in that show. And there's like there's too much like room for humiliation that's wasted in Wipeout, and we sort of like rely upon the splash to do the comedic work.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I'm playing. So I do stay on the play. I have a PS4. Right now, the last games that I had time to play were games like Last of Us 1. I always go back to all of the Batman Arkham ones. Those are just staples. Skyrim. Started playing. My grandma said, you got to play Skyrim. She started playing that. But here lately, it's been things like, you know, one of the big things of Chasing the Crown is Apex Legends. So I jumped into that. The Doom Eternal jumped into that. So I still play. And it's funny because, like, you know, the circle of life, Simba, I'm right back into doing shows that have to do with video games, and it's a game show. I'm on the other side of the camera now.
You were
producing it, streaming.
You were planting the seed
you were
for
born
your own
for
audience.
It, Phil.
That's it.
Yeah, I guess.
I'll tell you what, Phil, I was in GTA 5. I was a character, and the first day that I was on set and the avatar popped up, I thought of Nick Arcade and you, and I'm like, man, they've really stepped it up. Like, the trailblaze is real, and like, whoa.
It's about to get real with the PS5, I think. It's about to get like instant loading, like all of this mad, like next level stuff that we haven't seen in, you know, a jump like this, I think. But
my age is showing.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a PS3. I'm a generation behind. I'm now two generations behind because PS5 is going to come out.
We're going to sell a telethon for you, okay?
I think there's better places to put your money towards. I figured that my son is such a crazy piler and builder that he might like some type of. I really thought he might like the annoying goose game, but I didn't introduce that to him because he's just not like can't really hold the control type of thing. So I thought he might like something like Katamari Damacy. I don't know if you played that that type of game.
Get him a everybody loves the Switch, man. Give him a Switch.
Yeah,
get him a Switch. I don't even let him pick. If he picks up my phone, he tries to throw it into the sink from wherever he is. He could be in the living room, bathroom, bedroom, dining room, kitchen. It doesn't matter.
What's this thing that takes away almost, my daddy's attention from me?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going in the toilet.
Well, one of the things that was crazy that the guy who was the people who were the, kind of my assistants would talk about when they came over to my house in Orlando was that my son at the time, by the time I was doing Nick Arcade, now he was maybe two and a half. And because they would give it, see, the cool thing is they would send me stuff, all of these systems that you have to buy.
You'd have to try that stuff out.
So I'd go to the door and the video game fairy would be there. And like, here's your new Sega Genesis. Sega Game Gear. Here's your new Dreamcast. Though. They would bring this to my house. So I had 5 TVs with everything hooked up. Amazing. And so I had this little kid who could barely walk and could barely poop in the toilet.
He was good with the zapper.
Somebody would come over to bring me the scripts for the show, the next day show, the night before. And he'd be sitting there watching my son with this control. And he's like, this dude can barely walk, but he's kicking my butt. So he kind of grew up. He was surrounded by it. Every room he had, he in his crib, he's like, "How'd you get it?"
You said he's a filmmaker now.
It's
amazing how much video games and films have grown together in terms of production.
Towards each other. Now I get a lot of flack because I'm one of these people where I get a lot of flack because it has come together a lot, but it's come together too much for me, just me personally. When I play a game, look, I used to be able to buy a game. My mom would go out and buy me a game, spend $35. I'd play that game from the day she got me until summer vacation. Uh-huh. if she got it to me in summer, I'd play that game from
all
summer,
the way until Labor Day.
Labor Day, exactly.
Christmas, whatever.
Right. I get a game now, it's like $60 and I'm done in a weekend because I'm watching a movie. I got Netflix for movies. When I watch 20 minutes of a video and then go hit X to open a door.
You feel like you're being robbed of the interactive experience.
That's how I feel too.
Well, that is Last of Us in a nutshell. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
But I love it. There's still enough.
So do
action.
I. But yeah. It's one of those things where it's like I said, it just when it gets to the action, like Last of Us, Left 4 Dead 2, it's got a lot of action. God of War, even things like Injustice, it's got a lot of action.
That you can control or not cutscenes,
you can control. You can control. But there's a lot of games that are lean heavily on the other side where you're watching the movie and people love it. But that's why I said I get a lot of flack for that, because I'm like, look, I've got Netflix, I've got Vudu, I've got Hulu. I can watch movies, Amazon Prime. That's what that's for. I want to play a game. I want thumbs. I want swollen thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Gradius or something like that. From shooting that gun. I see Dan, and then Danny's stuck in the middle because he has he's worn the balls for us. He has put on the mantle of the balls.
I have performed your cutscenes as pieces.
Well, I don't mind cutscenes. I don't mind cutscenes. It's like I said,
you don't want them to dominate. You don't want them to dominate what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. 20 minutes of cutscenes, then when I finally get to do something, press X to open the door. Boom! 15 more minutes of cutscenes.
And so for you, maybe back in the day was, I'm going to give an example because this is when I was really in it, like Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil was like two sort of stop and start for you, the way it would load and go through a door and load and go.
Yeah. Now I tell you the best balance. I'm going to go old school because I'm 150 years old. There was a game called Siphon's Filter, a Mega Strain. And also Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, yeah.
Best combination of cutscene and action. Because I want to see a little bit more, but right before I go, I'm getting tired of this. It goes, start kicking ass, Phil. And I'm like, all right. It takes me all the way to the point of, and boom, I'm right back in it.
You had to build the tension. You had to build the tension. And
exactly.
Siphon Filter was... Was GoldenEye 2 repetitive for you in that time? Or
no, I like GoldenEye 2. That was a great game. I like
because people that seems to me like even 20 plus years later, people are still talking about games in that
GoldenEye
that era.
GoldenEye 2. Oh, and you know the other one, Star Wars Rogue Squadron for the
Super
NES. I haven't played the second Star Wars game that came out, whatever the one before that was.
No, you go old school.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron.
Flying around, getting that. You got to fly. You got to make the AT-AT fall by, you know, on the start.
You
like on
you get your speeder. You will get your speeder broke.
Your speeder.
Up if you do not. Yeah.
Yep.
And when you do it right, and it falls, and it's
so satisfying.
It is.
Those polygons, man. That was like, I remember Star Fox was a real breakthrough at one point, and then Rogue Squadron was a real breakthrough as far as
what do a barrel roll
on that system. Yeah, now look at us now. I can't get out of bed without hitting left and right, you know? Look at me.
I just can't, I mean, in 20 years, I just can't even imagine. If we're getting like deep fake style video games now, it's like I can't imagine in 20 years what it's gonna be.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Real life.
You never will because you'll be 120 years old and be dead. Jeremy, sorry.
Come on now.
There's nice stuff where even in this COVID time, like where you would want to go over to your buddies back in the day. We've gone from a time where a game came with two controllers, a system came with two controllers to you have to buy each controller when you get a new console type of thing because people are playing far away from each other. But in this COVID time, it's actually better, you know. My friend lives just on the other side of the park, but I'm not going to go over to his house to play FIFA.
Get a PS4.
Yes,
upgrade. Wait for the 5. You know what I mean?
Or wait for the 5. Yeah,
and then make that 5. Jump.
This is why I have a MacBook Slow.
It's only like a month's rent. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Only like $700.
This is when people...
You can trade in your PS3 for like $60, bro.
How much could a month of rent be, David? $10?
I don't remember what that's from, but I do remember it.
And then you talk about how the game economy is kind of broken down because you look at like GameStop and how they're a measure for how, you know, stuff has been happening. GameStop is like, we're not going to let anybody in.
They're a dying breed anyway. Yeah, they're. I don't know how they
just buy everything off your console.
Exactly. And the new one has a digital only console. So there's one without even a drive. That's all digital.
That's the 5. Doesn't
they have both? But they have a console, a digital version, and then a console version with a DVD.
Yeah, but can it play PlayStation 1 games?
No. But it can play PlayStation 4 games.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yes.
you're buying a new console that, you know, it's the same thing. Like, you just want to you want to keep everything in unison, right? You should be able to play all the games from all the consoles.
Backwards compatibility, bro.
Yeah, like I want to play. I want to play Crash Bandicoot on my PS5. Damn it!
Right. Play Banjo Kazooie on my Switch.
And here's what. Speaking of Crash, they're doing something that I really like too. Since a lot of games don't do what you want it to do, Danny, I like the ones that. Some games I like that game. Like, I don't want the new version of insert game name where it plays different. I want to play that game, but I want to look great on my 4K TV. And so Crash did that because it's one of the few games they just took the same game that existed before and just remastered it in 4K quality.
I'm about to go buy me a PlayStation 4.
Wait.
Oh man, I love that game.
I remember that.
The great thing is that you can right now go and get an emulator for your laptop, and you can play all these games in complete better quality than it was at the time, or I guess it's the same, but it looks better now. But
on a different controller, like, depending upon what you get.
What's that?
On a different controller, depending upon what you get.
Controllers don't matter because it's just, you know, you can use. I use this for all of my. It's just a PS4 controller for all of my emulation stuff. Like I play Tony Hawk 3 and Tony Hawk 2 and Crash Band, anything you can imagine. As long as you own the game physically, it's not illegal.
Well,
if you don't, then we have problems, but nobody gives a fuck.
An archival copy. You're just playing your archival copy.
So Open EMU. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Go get Open EMU. That's
Open EMU.
Yeah, Jeremy has been deep on the ROMs for a while. I don't know if we can talk about this because Phil obviously sponsors from the real deal.
Yeah, I may have put a kick.
I love that game, Crash Bandicoot. It's so good.
Super Marshmallow Court. One of my favorites.
I forget. It must have been like a year or two ago. I went back to my parents' house, and in the kitchen, they have a TV. And my dad had hooked up like a little like Atari, like loaded with like 50 or something games. And it's just like a USB, just pop it in.
It's loaded into the controller.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, there's a little box, but there's a controller. My dad was just sitting there like playing boxing and like all these old school Atari games. And I was like, what the hell is this? He's like, it's great. I tried to play it. And it was so damn like I was an Atari kid for sure. But I couldn't, my brain was like, no, you can't play these games anymore, man.
It doesn't. Yeah. It's like changing the timeline.
It sucks.
Like,
one button, one. You know, I couldn't take it, man. My attention span has been beaten down by Twitter videos and
you need all of your digits to be busy at the same time.
Yeah. Just didn't feel good.
ColecoVision.
It was exciting for a second.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
ColecoVision was super overstimulating in that time. Like, it was.
It had the knob.
And it had like a whole key. It had a whole keypad on it. It was way too confusing.
You had to play with your hands and one foot when you had a ColecoVision. You had to take shoes off. I'm playing a game.
I never took it into drumming after that when I had that muscle memory trained in from playing ColecoVision. That's funny. Or the introduction in the N64 of the Z button, Z targeting. My lord, it just changed.
Hey, my apartment's flooding. You guys take over. I'm going to deal with that. Have fun. Literally, the studio. There's an inch of water in here.
No, there's a strong. There's a strong.
I'll be back.
Okay. Bye. Bye, Jared.
One of the few times we're glad not to be in the studio, and
we're not going to. We're not going to be able to stop rolling, Phil. So if there's anything you want to get out there, you know, despite the network sensors, it's time to get it out there because we can hit the stop button right now. Because
there's no network sensors.
Jeremy can't. I guess that is a nice thing. I mean, I guess Twitch does exist as a company, but there's so many different channels and there's so many different players and a huge audience for people to look at.
And it's interesting too, because everybody talks about how entertainment in general is not only has changed, but will be changed forever because of COVID, because now Twitch is expanding. Like, they're looking for, I mean, even the show that I'm doing right now, there's another one coming out in August that's going to be all sort of physical challenges with no video games on it, but it was going to be on Twitch. And it kind of reminded me, like, you know, a friend of mine said, well, isn't that weird for Twitch? I said, well, is it weird when MTV started doing dating shows? It just happens. It's a natural evolution.
It's a channel, right?
Yeah, it's a channel. So they want to get more stuff on there. And they want to cover different bases. So, it's kind of crazy.
Nationwide, that green screen sales are going to go up, up, up in the past. I want to track sales.
You know what's going to be a lost market, too? Is going to be location managing. Because everything will be green screened up.
Yeah, this seems like,
you know,
like
what? We don't really want to pay for to do it in front of the Arc de Triomphe.
It seems like a deliberate thing because they just joined the Teamsters a couple of years ago.
They just all became
Teamsters. So this is just what do you call it? An anti-union, a backhanded anti-union pandemic. Yeah.
Hey, you guys can't use no green screens unless Wheezy is.
Okay, good. I could see green screen Teamsters. This is an interesting thing to organize.
Hello, studio executive. Yes, I found a location. Yeah, my living room.
Right.
Great. That's it.
How much? What's your kit rental for the living room?
But yeah, Teams has got to come over. Wear the mask to set up the green screen for you. You can't touch the green screen.
Yeah, you can't touch it.
You figure, what do you call it? Cameo would be a good way of people to continue to get contact-free income in this time. And it's something that people could do from home. You know, Dan, you could be calling people blowholes all day for $50
a
pop.
If I had a nickel for every time those guys have DM me to get.
But you wouldn't have a nickel. But you wouldn't have a nickel. You would have.
I know. I would have 30 to 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Per insult.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't want it.
What can you do?
I'm saying when you think about.
I think
about
we should double down, and you and I could just do it together. And we don't do any separate. We only do them combined. It's $100 a pop, and we'll say whatever they write down for us.
And screen sharing like this, where we're just like diagonal to each other. It's like, hey, knucklehead, what are you doing here?
Dude, my wife's friend, for her birthday, her husband got her a cameo from Susie from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jeff's wife, and like she just rips into her and like saying all these foul, dirty things. And I'm thinking about it, and then I looked, she costs $375 a cameo spot.
Happy freaking
and she spent birthday. And she spent they spend that, and that's good money. And that my wife's friend is so excited that she has this like minute and a half video of Susie like verbally abusing her. And to think about the money that she got paid, and just sit there like with her phone and be like, fuck you fucking fuck, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's That's good work, man. I'll take that one.
That's good. You're saying that that's a transaction with a willing buyer and a willing seller.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's
100%. It's not abusive.
No.
It's not abusive except for the category that it is on Cameo.
Exactly. That's okay. We've all done Comic Cons. It's a similar vibe, except, you know.
Yeah.
And so people that be like, hey, can I actually take a video of you saying something? And you're like, I guess so. It's okay. At least Cameo, there's a buffer now. There's gonna be like,
what is your most requested thing? The I don't know. Is that
people love to hear me say I don't know. That is for sure. But mostly it's still is the tattoo real?
Or take a sponge bath hammer.
And I have to do this to them, and they get very sad. And then I have to explain to them that I was 7 years old and tattoos for children is illegal.
At that time. Now laws
in COVID
changed.
In COVID time, it's just anyone can poke and stick anyone.
Yeah, there's no rules. It's interesting because I feel like Dan didn't have a tattoo for a long time because his character had one, and it was kind of subconsciously on his mind that his character that he became known for had a tattoo, and Dan didn't have one. And then he got married, and this is a special enough event for him to have a tattoo.
Right, yeah. That's true.
Well, when I go around now, it's almost like a little mini session of Whose Line Is It Anyway? You know how when Wayne Brady does the song? Because the one thing that everybody wants to hear me do is make up a song on the spot. It was one of those weird things. I did it one time on the show. It became a thing. So now I'm sitting there at a Comic-Con. I'm like, how was your name? Can you make a song about my name?
Oh, gosh.
Do I get royalties? Yeah, I mean,
that's pressure.
You just sing, you know what? Next time, just sing the damn name game with their name. Danny, Bo, Banny,
oh,
Banana,
no.
Banana, Bo,
don't,
Banny.
Are you, oh, you got to do it in a da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, no, I know.
How's the mop situation,
horrible.
Jeremy?
Horrible.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Not good?
What's going on, man?
Do you need...
flooded.
This episode of Danny and Mike is brought to you by ShamWow and the ShamWow Richard Corporation. Richard. He's got about 50...
And by sponges.
Swelling up.
Water.
Billy West. Sponges. Billy West is outside using a mop, making a SpongeBob voice.
Anyway. Finish it up, gents. I got to... it's clear to the TV. It's like the whole apartment's flooded.
Not the PS4. I'm going to come over and get that so we can play FIFA.
Last of Us 2 is playing right now, too.
Oh, God.
Server Pro it is.
Let's hear about Fillmore for you at Twitter.com. That's Phil's social media handle. I want to hear about...
Right. Yeah, you give us your plugs. Tell us what you got going on.
Okay, well, it's funny because I was able to get that on everything. I have Fillmore for you for Twitter, to Twitch, for Instagram, PHILMOORE, the number 4, the letter U.
You.
Kind of a Prince thing I was doing. I would die for you.
All right, I like it.
And, you know, right now, man, I'm living a life here in Glendale, California, producing, like I said, for Twitch. We're about to do our last episode for Chasing the Crown. It's going to air this Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. It is live. And then starting in August, I'll be doing a show called Dare Package, also on Twitch. And if you got children, which you've got the right age, child, Mike, there, Ryan's Mystery Playdate. That was my revisit back to Nickelodeon. I was actually back in the Nickelodeon fold for about 3 seasons, producing that YouTube phenomenon.
I'll check it out.
And his mom and dad. So it was a lot of fun. Again, just a lot of physical challenges.
Oh, wait, is that the kid who opens the presents?
The toys? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He's got a show on Nick Jr. now. We just did the third season, which is airing now. And they just got picked up for a 4th, which they're going to do a bit differently. Now that COVID, the 4th season is going to be done with a lot of green screen interaction. Between
like I said,
his followers.
Green screen sales are going up, up, up.
Yep. I mean, it's going to be out the roof, go through the roof. So, but that's it, man. Yeah, people can follow me on any of those things. Just feel more for you, whether it's Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram. And aside from that, Danny, I've been chatting with you a bit about your little man, which is kind of fun. And I have been officially adopted as a grandfather to wonderful stepdaughter I have. And so now I'm running around following a kid who was born on my birthday.
Congratulations. You never forget.
August 24th. The funny thing is, the crazy thing is, we're going to be one, and her name is Liliana. So, keeping the Nickelodeon thing, I've already made up t-shirts like Rugrats to say Phil and Lil. So,
you guys, congratulations, man. Nice. Looking forward to it. Nice. Go Virgos.
Just keeping it in the family. All roads lead back to Nick somehow. Yeah,
it's because Nick did well by all of us, and that's
You know, it was a great time, man. It was like they had a team of people that actually sort of groomed you. They taught you how to be in the public limelight, as opposed to, I think, a lot of people now, especially kids, it happens and then it just falls on them. But they, you know, I remember having a little talk where, like, even when you take pictures, you know, like, you know, just to make sure that everybody was fine, like, your hands had to be in plain sight every time, you know? So you
safety,
never take a
safe
picture.
Stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah, safe stuff, you know? Not because, you know, we were going to do anything to the kids, but even to protect us so that nobody could say, hey, you can't see his hand, but guess where it is, you know? Right, so whenever you took a picture, you know, even if you had it around the shoulder, it's like, hey, here's my hands around Timmy. Yeah, you know?
That's why that 90s point was just problematic, because you didn't know where the other hand was, but you knew where one was.
Exactly. But you knew where one was, right. And how to do interviews, you know? They taught you how to do interviews. And it was really kind of cool, man. It was a cool time. I mean, it's still great there now, but it's more of a, it's like a machine. It's like a machine now.
Sure.
It was a more
creative kind of let's see what happens mentality back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even though we're talking about Nickelodeon, I liken it, now that I live in L.A., I liken it to Disneyland versus Disney World. Disneyland is Walt's dream. Disney World is like, how can we make money off of Walt's dream?
Whoa.
I've never heard about it like that, but it makes complete and total sense to me, Phil.
It does, man. It really does. Yeah.
Jeremy could have used more of those souvenir Nickelodeon sponges and mops.
Well, you know what? I got some Nickelodeon badges left. That's about it. I gave all my stuff away over the course of 25 years. People would, you know, because first of all, it makes great gifts when you forget someone's insert thing. I forgot my nephew's birthday. Hey,
oh, here you go.
Here's a Ren and Stimpy plush doll. You know? Oh, man, it's your daughter's quinceañera. Yeah, here's an Are You Afraid of the Dark t-shirt.
It's topical.
Nothing like a last minute gift for a quinceañera, you know?
Oh, man.
I'm going to I'm going to share a picture with me trying to squeeze into this jean jacket, and we'll see how it goes. I'll let you guys see it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. We'll post it.
Maybe we'll put it up. If you think I should not put it on, let us know at 347-470-8150, which is the Danny and Mike hotline voicemail.
It's true. People leave messages for us, Phil, and then we answer them on little mini sounds.
Nice. How long have you been doing this podcast with Jeremy?
Like about 6 or 7 years at this point.
Wow. Six plus. We want to say, yeah. It's like my phone. It's going to be a 6S plus next year. The Danny and Mike Show is brought to you by extremely brawny paper towels and suck it up sponges and the ShamWow Corporation.
And Jeremy's getting a ServaPro shout out right now.
Roto-Rooter and also the sump pumps, they really suck. The ones that really, really suck.
And by PS3 for those who like gaming in the dark. Yes.
I play a FIFA from like 2012 or 2013, like that has the updated roster where Liverpool still has Luis Suarez because he's just a very good, player.
I have NBA 2K 2011 just because the New Jersey Nets are still the New Jersey Nets, and I still get to play as the New Jersey Nets.
Man, Joe Johnson's not messing around. I saw some video, and Joe Johnson still has it, and I think I'm glad that you're not in Orlando to be near all that stuff happening with the NBA, because it's just
Yeah,
it's bubble action and a lot of carrot sticks, from what I can tell in the social media on the pictures of the meals.
And oh yeah, just for the record, anyone making fun of Joel Embiid for wearing a hazmat suit to go to practice, you all can go suck it, because that man is trying to take care of his family.
Speaking
and
of going
sport and do things that are like, I saw that people were making fun of him for it. I was like, that's, you know.
Speaking of wearing a hazmat suit
right
and
now.
Going to suck it, Jeremy, what's the situation?
Yeah.
With, as you suck down the mocha, what's going on?
There are days, gentlemen, that I want to jump off buildings.
No.
Put my head in the water.
No, you live in a basement. You could
Doesn't
not
matter.
Jump off a building. This, you have to go to someone else's building. That would not be safe.
Did what? Did the drain in front of your
apartment up to the living room?
Are the
Wow.
Yowzers. Okay. Yeah.
Well, why don't we say goodbye?
Thank you for
fun, it. Man.
This podcast is brought to you by the Last Podcast Network. just to make sure.
And galoshes. Lots of galoshes. We're going to sign off before the water level hits the power strip. But
get yourself a pump, Jeremy, man. Take care of that. I hope it all works out well. Seriously. Right.
Good to meet you.
Hey, guys. Great seeing you.
Phil, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Don't hit quit yet. Yeah, we are brought to you by...
We are part of the Last Podcast Network.
Yes, we are.
Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com. You can find Danny at Danny Tamborelli on the Instas.
Gosh, buddy. Splash,
Michael C. Marona on the Twits. I am at Remy Balin, at Jeremy Balin on other things. New podcast launching August 2nd, my birthday, called Going Dork.
Leos and Virgos.
Got any plugs that you want to throw out? I mean, I guess we've talked about the show.
We did it already. We did it already. We hooked it up.
You were busy plugging the drain,
okay.
And we were busy plugging Phil.
Well, Phil, it was very nice to meet you. I'm sorry.
That doesn't sound right.
Look, I'm sorry about your problems, man, but it was great meeting you. And I hope it, you know, handle it, man. Get off here and go handle it.
Yes.
Go do it, Noah. Take care of it, Noah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bye.
All right,
y'all.
Good to meet you.
You too.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.